Welcome to the Real Estate Guys radio program. Is the market going to keep going up? Is it going to crash? What market are we talking about? Well, that's what we're going to find out today on the Real Estate Guys radio program.
If you love real estate and have always wanted to own your own business, listen up. The Real Estate Guys and their panel of experts want to teach you how to go full-time fast in the real estate syndication business. These next few years may go down in history as one of the best times ever to acquire investment real estate. There are deals everywhere if you know where to look and how to assemble the resources. The Secrets of Successful Syndication Seminar will show you how to make big money doing big deals from a team of experts that have syndicated projects totaling more than $1 billion. Don't wait for someone to give you a raise or create a job for you. Attend the Secrets of Successful Syndication and learn how to build a team, raise capital, find deals, and make full-time money in 6 months or less. Go to realestateguysradio.com and click on events. All the big players use syndication as a way to diversify risk, optimize profits, and earn big money. You can too. Go to realestateguysradio.com and click on events.
Welcome to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms. With me, as usual, co-host, financial strategist, Russell Gray.
Hey, Robert.
How you doing?
Good.
What a great show we have today.
Very excited about it.
Now, you know, we're real estate investors.
That's
and we
true.
Talk to real estate investors. And you and I just spent an entire weekend with a whole bunch of cool real estate investors. And we talk real estate. But last week, we talked metals and gold. And that was kind of a diversion, in a way, to folks who are, you know, tuning into our podcast to hear about real estate, but really, you've got to step back and understand different asset classes. Today, we're going to talk about kind of a different place people are putting their money and what's happening. And what we do as real estate investors is we have to watch the trends and understand the markets.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we've been doing this show together for 9.5 years now. And prior to that, we were teaching seminars together and, you know, had the mortgage company and you were very active in real estate brokerage and, of course, longtime investors. And, you know, we watched things happen and these cycles come and you watch these different markets go. And I remember having a conversation with Robert Kiyosaki one time about how he looked at his investing. And what he looked at was these pools of money that move from place to place to place to place. And so we saw a bunch of money go into the stock market. In the 90s, right? I mean,
right.
I was in Silicon Valley at the time, and all these companies were going public and all kinds of money pouring into tech. It wasn't until a little while later, and I started looking at the Fed, that I realized that there had been a lot of money directed at trying to help fund the prevention of the Y2K crisis, right?
Right.
And we've completely forgotten about that because it never manifested. But that money all ended up in the NASDAQ, and, you know, NASDAQ was over 5,000. It's never gotten back. It's getting close now, but look how long it's taken. And then when that blew up, the dot-com bust, the Fed's response was to funnel more money in. And right on the heels of that, we had 9/11, more money coming in. And eventually all that ended up into the bond market, which found its way into the real estate market. You know, and the stock market was nobody wanted to be in the stock market. Everybody wanted to be in real estate. And we were teaching seminars at the time, and, you know, everything we were doing was just taking off. I mean, real estate was going through the roof, and everybody wanted to learn how to do it, and it was just this big mania. And then in the middle of, 2006, 2007, it started to slow down, and all of a sudden, 2008, kaboom!
Right.
Right? And then the stock market's down in the dump, and the real estate's down in the dump, and gold is taking off. And so you look at that and you're like, wow, you know, oil, what at the time was like $45 a barrel, and today it's like $95 a barrel. So the point is that money moves from market to market, and people who operate in paper asset markets that look at charts and trends really have sometimes a better feeling for where the money's going to go on. You know, Andy Tanner, a few shows back, was talking about that, and he'll be covering that on the summit. So right now the stock market is like at an all-time high. And so the question is that going to continue? What does that mean? Is money going to come into real estate? Is there going to be a big bust? I mean, I don't know. I'm not a stock market guy. But that's why we do what we do. We can go find guys that are.
Now, we have a great guest today who keeps his head in that space. But before we get there, I want to paint the picture as a real estate investor, right? What you just described about markets is completely true about the real estate market.
Yes.
At any given time, a market in a geographic location and a product type, single family houses in Las Vegas, are doing something. They're going up, they're going down, people want to get in, they want to get out, there's a lot of glutted inventory, or there's multiple offers, whatever that looks like. Meanwhile, in the markets around the rest of the United States, and in the markets around the rest of the world, different things are happening. There has never once been a time where all real estate markets globally are either going up or going down.
Right.
Anytime you're in a hot market, somewhere you can find a terrible market, and vice versa. And within those markets, if I only pick a single market to invest in, then I have completely out of my control a big part of what happens in my real estate portfolio, and that's what the local market does. So as just a pure real estate investor, one of the things people consider is diversification of market because of the underlying fundamentals, the jobs that are there for the tenants who are going to occupy your houses, the businesses that are either growing or diminishing, and what that does to the value of land and office space, and then, of course, retail and all of that. And it's a big, big picture. But just within real estate, the prudent investor looks at different product types, different markets, different segments of the market. We talk a lot about recession-resistant pricing in real estate. The homes and the apartments and the condominiums in an area that almost always have tenants because they're a little below the median. At the same time, there are certain markets right now in the United States where the high end is what is hot. So just from a real estate perspective, we have to understand markets. Now, if you're a real estate investor, you might not just invest in real estate. You also might have some money in the stock market, money in gold and money in oil and those things. And so it's complicated to get your mind around it, but it's essential.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I was just thinking about when you would teach the due diligence seminar, and we talk about the demographic trends. And, you know, for a long time now, we've been talking about the demographic trends even within the United States and how people will move, businesses will move to go to lower tax, lower cost places to live and work. And why did they do that? Because of what's going on in the economy. And so, you know, it's kind of like, I mean, kind of on the summit theme since it's coming up, right? But just these ocean waves, and there's the currents, and then there's the undercurrents, and all of a sudden, you know, the swell builds and something comes. And, you know, the guys that are navigating those ships, just like you're navigating your investment portfolio, better be aware of what some of those currents are. Next thing you know, a big wave comes and blindsides you, right? I mean, I've had that happen to me in my investing career.
I saw the Poseidon event,
right? Exactly. So, you know, you end up in these situations. So, you know, obviously coming out of the 2008 for the last 5 years on the show, we spent a lot of time, you know, becoming a lot more familiar with and understanding the currents and the undercurrents and the other financial markets that affect real estate, you know, bond markets and their effect on interest rates and the lending environment. And then you look at what's going on with the Fed and their, you know, creation of money or their manipulation of money or their management of money, whatever you want to call it. And then, of course, you've got the psychology of the marketplace as people chase the latest and greatest trend, right? I mean, gold has been in the dumper for a little while now. The question is it coming back? I mean, it's had a pretty good start to 2014, but, you know, we're not experts in that. But the point is that all these markets are part of the current of the financial marketplace, and they do affect whatever is floating in that ocean of money, and that includes your real estate. And so it's important as a real estate investor to be aware of these things. I mean, who's the guy way back in the day? Harry Dent, I think, Megatrends.
Yeah.
Right? He was the first guy to really think about that. And now you look at what China's doing. They've just changed their one child per couple policy. I mean, and you think about that. The basis of the Chinese population is 10 times the size of the U.S. population when we had the baby boom. I mean, think about what that might mean in 20 or 30 years. I mean, so I think we're never going to run out of things to talk about on this show, that's for sure.
Well, for sure. I mean, think about resources and agriculture and all other parts, and we're going to have lots to talk about on our Investor Summit, the 12th Annual Investor Summit coming up, and the gentleman you're about to meet is going to join us for the first year, another faculty member that you haven't met yet and you're about to. Matt Kirchhoff works with Richard Russell for the Dow Theory Letter, and that's an amazing opportunity to learn about the stock market and understand kind of the way markets move. Of course, Andy Tanner is going to be on the summit as well, and he teaches technical analysis of stocks and options and so forth. And so excited about that. When we come back, you'll get to meet Matt, and we'll talk booms, busts, and bubbles today on the Real Estate Guys radio program.
Live nationwide, you're listening to The Real Estate Guys. Find out more at realestateguysradio.com.
Do you know what city was ranked number one on Clear Capital's list of highest performing metro markets just this February? It was Atlanta, Georgia. Hey, this is Ken Corsini with Georgia Residential Partners. If you haven't heard, Atlanta has just begun an incredible road to recovering real estate values. With an unprecedented demand from investors and a shrinking supply of inventory, properties in the Atlanta market are poised for tremendous growth over the next few years. At Georgia Residential Partners, our mission is to help as many investors as possible buy turnkey, cash-flowing properties in the Atlanta metro area with as little headache as possible. With conventional and non-conventional financing available, we can help just about any investor in any number of situations buy residential properties in this market. Check us out online at gainvesting.com or call our office at 770-924-5450. Don't let this window of opportunity pass you by.
Live where you want to live, but invest where the numbers make sense. Even better, invest where you have a solid team to support you. We've been hearing great things about Memphis, Tennessee, and Terry Kerr from Mid-South Homebuyers. Since 2002, Terry and his team have been delivering turnkey rental property solutions ideal for out-of-area real estate investors. So, if you're looking for affordable, trouble-free, turnkey investment property, call Terry. Use our resource hotline at 888-510-6838, extension 118. That's 888-510-6838, extension 118. Or find them in the resources area of our website at realestateguysradio.com.
Hello, this is Robert Kiyosaki. I'm the author of Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And if you're serious about learning how to invest in real estate, listen to the Real Estate Guys. They really know what they're talking about.
And welcome back to the Real Estate Guys radio program, heard every weekend on this fine radio station, all the time at realestateguysradio.com. We're talking about the cycles that happen in real estate and how do you know when it's time to get in or get out. Specifically, we want to talk a little about the stock market today because it is hot. And please welcome to the Real Estate Guys radio program, economist and faculty member for the Summit, Matt Kirchhoff. How are you, Matt?
Doing great. Thanks. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's always good to see you, and thanks for finally making onto our show. We've had a chance to run into each other a few times in the past few years and always get great conversations. I know you and Russ love to talk economics, and we're going to have a chance to do that for a whole week, so we're excited about that. But first of all, I guess, how did you get involved in what you do and getting involved with writing for Dow Theory and all that?
Well, I've always been an avid stock market watcher, but back in business school, I was introduced to options trading. And actually fell in love with it. Became my number one passion. And what I realized quickly is that what happens in the equity markets is really dependent on what happens in all the other financial markets. And so that broadened my horizon, forced me to look outside of equities to see what was going on in the broader economic picture.
Well, and that's really the point we're trying to make today is you can't just be so focused on your niche, ours being real estate, that you ignore the rest. That's kind of what happened to us the first time around, and real estate was just going like crazy, and then whoops. So now here we are, the stock market's at an all-time high. What does that look like?
Well, those who have been invested and ridden the way up are have big smiles on their faces, but there's a lot of worry out there. Just about every day you hear pundits all over the place talking about market tops and bubbles and the potential for severe declines. So it's an interesting time right now.
It almost seems like any time a market's at a peak that kind of talk starts, right? We saw it in the real estate market in, 04 and 05 and 06 and still some good run-up. And then eventually it seems every market does correct. So how is it that you know, and obviously absent a crystal ball, whether or not the market is healthy or if we're at that peak and what kind of time horizon we're looking at?
Well, there's a plethora of valuation metrics that most people will rely on to determine how undervalued or overvalued the market is at a given point. But the problem is that there's a lot of dynamics that influence relative values. And so it can sometimes be tricky to determine market tops. And we've had, people calling market tops for the last 3-4 years. One thing people often fail to realize, every time the market hits a new high, people go, is it time to sell?
Right.
But on the flip side of that coin, people have to realize that in bull markets, you have new highs being hit on a constant basis. New highs are the hallmark of bull markets. So it's not necessarily a reason to worry, but we always do have to keep our antenna out there.
Well, our mutual friend, Robert Kiyosaki, also is known for telling people that anyone can make money when the market's going up. What you have to learn is how to make money when the market's sideways or down. And, of course, it's not all about bull markets. When we're in a bear market, there are ways to make money in that market. But keeping our eye on the ball, we want to just kind of understand where we are in the market.
So right now, as you mentioned, we're very close to all-time highs. We've hit all-time highs within the last couple weeks. And we've been hitting all-time highs for basically all of 2013. And so we've since 2014 has begun, we've seen just a minor pullback which is actually healthy for the markets right now. It's been quite a few years since we've had a 10% correction, which many people feel would be beneficial, reset price levels a little bit, reset valuations. But at the end of the day, the stock market is not as rational as many people think. And as long as there is our eager buyers willing to push those prices up further, we may continue to see further gains.
Now, an article came out recently that Richard wrote about the fact that as goes January, so goes the year. This idea that if you look at and you study the stock market and what happens in January, it can often, not always, but often indicate the rest of the year. Is that just a coincidence or is there something to that?
Well, you can call it a coincidence, but it's a high likelihood coincidence. There's a strong correlation between the performance of the markets in January and the performance on the broad year. But what some people fail to take into account is when we have anomalous years, as we did in 2013, it sometimes changes these statistics around a little bit. So we're coming off of 30% gains in 2013, and so it sets a different stage for 2014. So while there is a strong correlation, and we are all hoping that January performs well, it's not necessarily a given fact that if we have either, you know, a strong January or a weak January, it's going to result in the same performance on the broader year.
Because of the crazy anomaly of being up as high as it's been, and that kind of makes it sets the table differently.
True, and that's not the only anomaly. I mean, we have quantitative easing, which, you know, we really haven't seen before, and we're starting to finally pare back on some of these ongoing bond purchases. So far, the market has reacted, you know, favorably to that news, but that could change, you know, at any moment in time.
You know, Matt, you bring up such a good point, which is this. No market operates by itself, because while we're watching the stock market, or talking about the stock market here, then over here is what the Fed's doing, which we have no control over, but obviously is going to have an effect. And in fact, the Fed making the decisions they make for the reasons they do, and all of that's out of, well, what do we know about what the Fed does, right? But they're going to make decisions, and it's going to influence these markets. And then we have the way that the gold market reacts, and oil and gas, and those things are driven by demand somewhat, but perhaps, you know, other factors. So it's murky waters.
You're absolutely right. And as you guys were getting at earlier, investors aren't tied to one particular asset class. Investors all around the world, they're looking for the best possible return for a given level of risk. And so as the dynamics of different markets change, money flows are going to change. And by watching some of that, we can get an idea of how different markets are going to perform.
When the real estate market was strong, you know, 04, 05, and we saw a lot of markets with 20% gain, you know, we were telling people, real estate markets can't sustain 20% price appreciation forever, right? And if you study real estate markets, they don't. There were a few markets that got into 30, 40, Las Vegas, 52% in a year, and that was the warning bell, right? Like, there's going to be something, and we don't know how it's going to manifest, but there is, and there was. Now that the stock market's 30% up in a year, is it that some folks are just saying, well, it can't sustain, so it won't? Or is there some fundamental you look at, and I know this is kind of what you do daily, that tells you, that sounds that warning bell for you in the stock market?
Yeah, we look at a number of factors, and warning bells have been going off for years, to be frankly honest. And yet the market has continued to climb upward. We're overvalued on just about every valuation metric you can look at. And, you know, margin debt is at an all-time high, which has historically been a good indicator. At Dow Theory Letters, what we focus on is really just following the trends. We look at charts and price patterns to determine the behavior of the other market participants. And by looking at the prices, we can determine essentially the psychology behind these investors. And so right now, we're continuing to see those prices go up. As I said, we've had a small pullback, and we'll wait to see if that develops further. At the moment, we're in a bull market. We've been in a bull market for about, you know, a little over 4.5 years now. And we always give the existing, you know, market the benefit of the doubt until we see clear evidence of a change.
Now, in real estate, there's kind of two different groups of people that affect the prices of homes. There's the people that live in them, right? And people that are, you know, if jobs are coming into an area and people want to be in a school district and those kinds of things. Then there's investors who are just looking for return based on tenants moving into the same things. In the stock market, you have individuals who invest, but you also have these market movers that we hear about. Can you speak to that?
So you're absolutely right. Institutions account for the bulk of trading that goes on in the equity markets. Some of these institutions are investing on behalf of us retail investors through our 401ks and so forth. Some of them are, you know, sovereign wealth funds. But at the end of the day, these big players are the ones that move around markets. And so one of the other methods we use is trying to track the investments that these so-called smart money players are investing in. And by doing that, we can get an idea of where the markets are going to head because they generally control that.
All right, that's brilliant. So the premise here, I'm going to guess, is that these folks we're talking about have some research, have some brains, have some crew, that, you know, guys like you that watch this stuff, that are smart and educated and pay attention, as opposed to the guy who just on the side in the evening says, yeah, what stock do I want to buy? Well, you know, I like Starbucks, so I guess I'll buy that stock because I drink their coffee. That's a different kind of investing.
Completely different methodology. And you're right, these guys have every asset available, you know, at their disposal. And so they're going to make typically the better decisions, and they're not always right. You know, some of these institutional players can get it wrong from time to time, but for the most part, because they control markets, they're able to drive the markets in the direction that they're, you know, looking to make it go.
And so you pay attention to what they do.
Correct.
That's smart. All right, we call that follow the money in real estate, right? I can watch and see if a big company is going in. If a fast food chain goes into an area, they've done the research. If a big box store goes into an area, they've done the research. So I look at that and say, okay, well, that's worth consideration. Doesn't make them right, but the idea is the same here. So let's talk about the big picture of when people decide it's time to get out. At some point, there's the run for the exit. How does that manifest, and how do you notice that?
It usually happens quickly, but there's always some type of advance warning. You see people slowly moving to the exits, and then it you get this herd mentality where it sort of builds up steam, and it reinforces itself. And as more people head to the exits, other people get worried, and they start heading for the exits. So it's tricky to say, you know, what exact signs you can look for that to happen. But right now, it's good to keep in mind that we're at a point at market levels right now where there's a good likelihood that that's going to happen sometime soon.
When we talk about stocks, you know, if you look at the Dow, that's a particular number of companies. If you step back and say, well, different industry sectors perform differently, how much of what you do is watching the entire market from the big picture versus drilling down into what maybe different types of stocks or, you know, small cap, mid cap, those kind of different, you know, areas of stocks are?
You know, that's a great question. And looking at the stock market as an aggregate, you can get some information, but in order to really decipher some of the subtleties that are going on in the thought processes of these big institutional players, you do have to break it down a little bit further. And so just to give you a small example, it's very common for investors to look at the performance of a group like the cyclicals or the consumer discretionary stocks as opposed to the consumer staple stocks. And so what we typically see is during a period where we have essentially the business cycle is booming, people are more interested in investing, throwing their money towards companies that do better in an up economy where there is a lot of discretionary spending available. For example, car companies doing really well, that's typically a sign of discretionary spending. The consumer's happy. You know, we're in the middle of a booming business cycle.
Yep.
As investors start to pull out of those types of stocks and go back into the more staples, you know, the companies that make toothpaste, for example, these are companies that their demand is going to be static. Regardless of how the economy does, you're still going to brush your teeth at the end of the night.
Right.
And so looking at that behavior at a smaller level, we're able to decipher, I guess, a little bit clearer what investors are thinking around the globe.
You know, that's interesting, right? No matter how, let's say, you know, you get some sort of windfall or your income increases and you're enjoying a better quality of life, you don't go out and brush your teeth twice as often.
Exactly.
So, interesting stuff. All right. We're learning a lot about the stock market today, and people are wondering, is it in a bubble? Is it time to get in? Is it time to get out? We're going to continue to ask Matt some questions when we come back. We're also going to play real estate trivia next. This is the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms.
Real estate investment advice right in your mailbox. Sign up for the free Real Estate Guys newsletter at realestateguysradio.com.
Are you ready for adventure and financial education? Imagine spending an entire week with like-minded investors, world-class educators, and real-world professionals. Join the Real Estate Guys radio show for the 12th annual Investor Summit. Returning this year are Rich Dad advisors Ken McElroy, Andy Tanner, and Josh and Lisa Lannan, international developer Beth Clifford, attorney Mauricio Raoul, and back for his fourth year, Patrick Donahoe will show you how to be your own bank. Plus, making his summit debut, top sales trainer Tom Hopkins, and returning for his second year, the incomparable Peter Schiff. Peter is one of the few people who called the mortgage meltdown in writing before it happened, so come and find out how you can be prepared for the next economic shift. It all begins March 8th in Houston. Visit realestateguysradio.com and click the tab that says Summit to learn more. Get all the details and reserve your spot today. Go to realestateguysradio.com and click Summit or call 888-GUYS-RADIO to talk with our Summit specialist. Spend a week with the Real Estate Guys and an all-star faculty on the 12th Annual Investor Summit.
Strong rents, low maintenance expenses, and long-term tenancy equals more profit for you. Sound good? Discover Texas Investor Homes Build-to-Rent Program in Houston, Texas. Houston was recently named the top job creation market in the U.S., and when you buy a brand new, ready-to-rent home, you get top rents, longer-term tenancy, and a builder's home warranty to keep expenses down. It doesn't get any better than that. To watch a short webinar with all the details, send your email request to buildtorent@realestateguysradio.com and we'll send you a link. That's buildtorent@realestateguysradio.com or visit the resource section of our website at realestateguysradio.com.
Hi, I'm G. Edward Griffin, author of The Creature from Jekyll Island, a second look at the Federal Reserve. You're listening to The Real Estate Guys.
Welcome back to the Real Estate Guys radio program. Thanks so much for tuning into the show. We hope we're expanding your mind with the cyclical nature of all markets, and we'll continue our discussion with Matt in a minute. But first, it's time to play Real Estate Trivia, your chance to win a prize by knowing today's trivia question. When you hear the question and think you know the answer, which, by the way, in a roundabout way has something to do with the stock market and real estate, so get that figured out. What you're going to do is you're going to send an email to us to trivia@realestateguysradio.com. trivia@realestateguysradio.com. Be sure to include your name and your mailing address so that when you're the winner, we can send you a book. And this week's book is Tax-Free Wealth by Tom Wheelwright. He's a CPA. He talks about taxes in real estate and stocks and all kinds of other stuff and shows you how to not only enjoy taxes but pay less of them. That is the prize today. Last week, we asked this on the Real Estate Guys. In the California gold rush of the mid-1800s, where exactly in California was that gold found? The answer? Sutter's Mill in Coloma, California. Here's our real estate trivia question for this week. When and where, the when is the trivia question, the where is the real estate part. When and where was Dow Jones and Company founded? Dow Jones and Company, we talk about the Dow Jones. When and where was the Dow Jones and Company founded? And I'll give you a hint, it was founded by three reporters. If you know their names, that's extra credit. Where and when was Dow Jones founded? If you know or want to guess, send us your answer to trivia@realestateguysradio.com. trivia@realestateguysradio.com. Include your name and your physical mailing address so that if you're right, we can send you Tax-Free Wealth by Tom Wheelwright. That's today's real estate trivia question. It's the beginning of the year. We're looking at what's going to happen in 2014. We're talking about the booms and the busts and the fun that happens in various markets. Matt Kirchhoff is with us today. Great to have you on the program.
Great to be here.
And let's talk a little bit about, you know, the types of stocks that you can invest in. We've been talking about the market and what that does. Real estate investors have one fundamental choice. They're either equity investors or cash flow investors. They're investing for capital gains, buy a piece of land. It's going to go up based on demand and market drivers and so forth. Or they buy a property solely for the cash flow that it creates, and the value of that property is kind of independent. Now, obviously, those are extremes, and there's stuff right in the middle. I can buy an apartment building that has good cash flow, and, you know, hopefully over time I can increase the management and the amenities, and it can be worth more as well. In the stock market, you know, you've got some stocks that basically you buy the stock, the share of a company, the company's value goes up and now the share is worth more, capital gains type of play. And then there's dividend paying stocks, stocks that are from companies that pay you money every month. Do you approach those differently, and how does that factor into your analysis, whether a stock is a dividend-paying stock or not?
We absolutely treat those differently. What you're getting at is kind of the distinction between growth stocks and dividend-paying stocks. And historically, growth stocks have tended to perform, from a share price perspective, their dividend counterparts. And so they attract a lot of attention. People want to hit home runs in these growth stocks. And so they do get a lot of investment. But dividend-paying stocks can actually be a wiser, in many senses, play for a number of reasons. And just like you mentioned, when a stock pays a dividend, you have a constant stream of income. and that's bankable. Regardless of what the share price does, that stream of income is going to remain. Now, of course, there are some caveats. If the company truly tanks, they could suspend that dividend or reduce that dividend.
Sure.
But the beautiful thing about dividends is they act as almost a floor on stock prices. So what that means is that if the dividend that a stock is paying remains the same, but the share price decreases, that yield that the dividend is paying is actually raising. And so it's going to attract other investors to that particular stock because they're going to see that higher yield and they're going to want that secure income on an ongoing basis.
Now, globally, you know, when we look at real estate investors and how they behave, we'll look at returns that are generally based on capitalization rate, cap rate, what's the return. And a way we read the market is based on the trend in cap rates. If cap rates are going down, so there's less return in an asset class, it's because more money is chasing it. Is it the same with dividend yields?
It's almost identical. Right now, we're at an extremely low level of dividend yields across the market. We're at a level that's seen quite commonly at market tops. And so that's one of these other valuation metrics and warning signs that's been on our radar for quite some time.
Yeah, it just makes sense that if more people are chasing it, that's because the price is going up and dividends are less. Now, again, folks that might be listening today who are savvy stock investors, this may seem like basic stuff, but we're trying to make the connection to the folks that invest in real estate that, number one, there's parallels in the market. Number two, you got to pay attention to other markets because of the thing we talked about, that money moves from market to market to market. And so I know you guys are watching that a lot. As you look at the market and you see these trends and you see what's happening, I think the distinction you made about the way the companies, you know, work and the product they provide, the difference between a product that's completely discretionary and a product that you must have, that's got to give you some keys into ways that you can, based on risk, decide to invest, doesn't it?
Oh, it absolutely does. It's one of quite a few ways of kind of viewing the markets. And it's interesting that you mentioned, you know, we generally focus on tracking the equity markets. And so people are sometimes confounded when we talk about and write a lot about what's going on in, for example, the bond markets.
Right.
But that it's so critical to look at what's happening in the bond markets to determine how that's going to impact equities as a broad asset class.
You know, that's so interesting because, of course, most real estate podcasts are focusing not only on real estate, but one very specific part of real estate. And our podcast is broader than that. It wasn't always, but we recognize what you've just said, that we have to understand a bigger picture. And I think real estate investors, because all real estate is local, I invest in a market. It doesn't have to be the market I live in, but it's a local market where the local factors have an effect. Stock market investors don't say, I'm going to invest in pretty much all companies that are headquartered on the East Coast, right? You wouldn't think of it that way. It doesn't matter where it's more about the fundamentals of the company or the technical analysis of where the share is going. So even though there are, you know, parallels in the marketplaces, kind of the mentality behind investing in the stock market is different. Not only that, the ease of getting in and out is different, right? If I have a property I want to get rid of, that's a process. If I have a stock I want to get rid of, it can happen instantly.
Yeah, it's nowadays with online trading platforms and, you know, lightning quick trades, it's almost become a video game to a lot of investors where they can get in and out, you know, on their lunch break if they want to. You get a lot of people day trading these markets, you know, because it used to be kind of the in thing to do. Drew a lot of the younger generation investors in there. And so that liquidity can be nice, but that liquidity can work against you as well. What it means is that, you know, when we do have a market downturn, some of these institutional players that have their fingers on the sell buttons can get out in a split second. And if you or I are stuck at work for the day, we might be a little bit behind the time by the time we're able to execute our trades.
Absolutely. Well, that's one of the keys, right, to understand that you are at a disadvantage if you're not in that favored status. But also, I think, you know, the individual investor can make decisions that are obviously a lot more personal. These, you know, big institutions and market makers, I mean, they have to take big chunks of movement, right? Whereas the individual can dollar cost average, put a little more away, can diversify with a mix that they think they're comfortable in, can support companies that, you know, they believe in. I mean, a little more. And that's maybe good, but you also have then the gambler mentality, right? The growth stock. I just want to hit that home run. So all investors have to have that balance between, you know, risk and reward.
Yeah, and in today's markets, so much money is moving around so quickly that one particular institution's trade, whether it be a buy or sell, can drive the price of that asset up or down just from the execution of that one trade. And so oftentimes, you know, the mom and pop retail investors who are throwing money in on a constant basis, it's a good consistent way to invest. You just have to be wary that there's different players in the marketplace that are operating under a different framework and a different mentality. And so understanding your risk is really crucial, you know, as an equity investor.
All right. Well, Matt, big picture here is no doubt the stock market is high. Now, we don't know when exactly, but at some point there's a good likelihood that that's not going to happen forever. And then it's going to go down. And at some point, of course, it's going to go back up and that happens. So what can a prudent investor do to make sure that they're not absolutely caught up or caught off guard in the thing? What are they looking for?
Well, one of the best things, and you probably hear this all the time, but is truly just the idea of diversification. You need to have your investments spread out. There's this idea of non-correlation, or assets that move independently of one another. So oftentimes, you know, when one asset is growing in value, another asset will be losing in value. That's one of the most important things you can do. And you can diversify not only through your stock holdings, but you can diversify into different asset classes. You can be in, obviously, real estate, a number of different assets, gold, precious metals. But in terms of the stock market itself, what we usually recommend from an investing mentality is not to enter and exit trades in entirety. For example, when you want to get into a position, you build up your position slowly. And when you want to exit a position, you exit that position slowly and incrementally. And so right now, we've suggested that it might not be a bad idea to unload, you know, a few shares, because we're at more or less all-time highs. If you have some solid gains in the market, go ahead and take them. You know, those gains aren't really real until you've actually, you know, rung the cash register. So while, you know, the market could continue to go up, you're not going to feel bad, and you might sleep better at night if you go and, you know, actually realize some of these gains. But if the market does go higher, you'll still have a little bit left in there to take part. And so you won't feel left behind if we do get another leg up.
All right. That's good stuff. Gosh, we could go on for hours about this. And thankfully, we will be when you join us on the Investor Summit at Sea. We're excited that you're going to be coming with us. And you're going to dig it, man. It's a really, really great week of hanging around with people and having these kind of conversations.
I'm really, really looking forward to it.
All right. Good stuff. Now, Matt, if someone is intrigued enough to know about what you guys are really, what's really going on over there at Dow Theory Letters, how would they get in touch with you, website, and that kind of stuff?
Yeah, the easiest way is just to go to our website, which is dowtheoryletters.com. Letters has an S at the end of it. But you can find us there. All the information to subscribe and, you know, or try out our newsletter and see what we have to offer is available there.
All right. Well, thanks for being with us today. And we'll see you in Houston as we depart for our Investor Summit.
Looking forward to it.
You're tuned to the Real Estate Guys radio program. More Week in Mac. I'm your host, Robert Helms.
Need help with your real estate investment portfolio? Check out the resources page at realestateguysradio.com.
Have you ever been frustrated with your bank? Denied a loan? Charged excessive fees? Hassled over late payments? Don't worry, you're not alone. What if you could become your own bank? Set your own terms? Interest would be paid to you. All your monthly payments could be reused for other purchases. Now you can. There is a cash management system that families, business owners, and investors have used for decades, which allows you to be the bank. For a free article from our friends at Paradigm Life, visit www.beyourbank.com or call us at 1-888-510-6838, extension 116.
Are you ready to profit in paradise? Hi, it's Robert Helms. And if you think real estate investing means tenants, toilets, and termites, think again. Located just a short plane ride from the U.S., a virtually untouched paradise awaits. The beautiful country of Belize. When you go to Belize with the Real Estate Guys, you'll spend four fabulous days discovering one of the most intriguing real estate markets I've ever seen. With its jungle rainforests, pristine beaches, and 81-degree turquoise water, Belize is one of the most beautiful places on Earth. Plus, it's considered one of the top seven tax havens in the world. And why U.S. real estate continues to drop, Belize property is on the rise, and many experts think the best is yet to come. But don't just take my word for it. Come experience Belize firsthand at our upcoming investor field trip. When you join us, you'll discover the many reasons we love Belize, like tremendously undervalued beachfront land, super low taxes, ease of doing business, and so much more. Get the details at realestateguysradio.com. Just click on events. See paradise for yourself. Click events at realestateguysradio.com, and I'll see you in beautiful Belize.
This is Todd Buchholz, author of Rush, Why You Need and Love the Rat Race, and you're listening to The Real Estate Guys.
Welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio program. Thanks for tuning into the show today. Hey, have you ever thought about aggregating capital, putting together money to do bigger deals? got to come to the Secrets of Successful Syndication. Go to the website at realestateguysradio.com. Click on events to learn when and where. We're talking today about the cycles that occur in the various markets and when it's time to get in, when it's time to get out. How do you tell? Great to get around Matt and hear some good ideas.
Absolutely. You know, one of the things that I'm very happy about in my own career is that I spent some time in the securities industry. I was a registered rep, and I spent a lot of time out doing seminars on mutual funds, mutual fund investing, understand the markets, the risk, a little bit of financial planning theory and understanding asset allocation models and so on. And when I really got active in the mortgage business and the real estate, I tried to bring some of that financial planning perspective to the real estate side of things. And, you know, having sat with hundreds and hundreds of investors doing these strategy consultations over the years, which I miss doing, I mean, I'd love to do that again, but it just hasn't worked out. You know, it was really amazing to see how real estate investors just kind of lived in their own little world, and they were busy thinking about, you know, how can I, what kind of kitchen cabinet should I put in, or what, you know, how can I do Section 8, or, and all that stuff's important, right? But that's a tactical management of the company, but they really didn't understand investment theory or investment planning. And there's so many lessons. Like, for example, when Matt was talking about the dividend yield on the Dow being 2%, I mean, immediately that's the same thing. And you brought it up, which was great, about the cap rate. And, I remember going through that and watching during the bubble. My daughter was investing. And her GRM on one of her properties that she had bought at 7, so she bought it at 7 times gross, was up to 16 times gross. And of course, she was refinancing, pulling the money out, right?
Well, and because the mindset is the price of the value, the asset, the duplex is going up and up and up in price, but the rent wasn't going up.
That's right. Investors were chasing the income, and they were bidding up the price so high that the income on the capital invested was going down. And if you don't understand that metric, you don't know when the market was in a bubble. And you don't even have to know what the net operating income is. You just can look at the gross rents and understand what that is. So that's kind of that same theory. And I remember telling her, I think you need to get out of that property. But you know, the beautiful thing about real estate, and especially if lending continues to loosen up as it's been, is that when that equity is there on the table, you can actually harvest that equity. You can get that equity off the table and move it into another investment, accumulate more doors, a free duplex story that we've been telling for years, right? But you can retain the underlying asset. The danger is if you do too much of that, then you end up with a cash flow problem on the underlying asset. So you still have to manage the cash flow long term so that you can handle it. And so it's really important, even if you're a capital gains investor, and especially in real estate, to pay very close attention to the cash flow. And that's exactly what I heard him say in the stock market, right? Because the prices, the stock is only going to be as good as the income the company produces.
A couple of perspectives on this show. One is how it applies to you as an individual investor and to get your mind around the fact that there are other markets, there's big players in those markets just like there's in real estate, and how are things going to affect me? The other perspective is this. If you'll pay attention to what's happening in other markets, like what is happening in the bond market, in oil and gas, in gold, in stocks, and you're in real estate, you can get a clue as to when the money might be moving over, especially
Absolutely.
Those of you that control a lot of inventory or syndicate money or any of those kind of things. You're looking for opportunity that might show up when there is one of those shifts. And watching it is the challenging part because you have to know what to look for. And that's kind of why we like to bring, you know, other perspectives and other disciplines and folks that understand other markets to this. It's why we have Peter Schiff coming on the summit, right? Peter's not a real estate guy. He's not a real estate guy now. We have Ken McElroy coming on the summit. He's the real estate guy, right? So you got to have both. You got to have both perspectives. And what's really awesome about, you know, spending time with people is rubbing your brain against other brains, right? You get to ask questions and understand. If some of today has been over your head, that's just because you haven't been around it a lot. I mean, I get around the people on the summit. A lot of it's over my head, which I love. I want to be stimulated. I want to ask. I want to ask questions.
Well, what's great is even when you don't even understand enough to ask a question, you know, when we put all these guys on a panel and they're talking to each other and they're debating back and forth and they have different viewpoints. I mean, Matt and I have these heated discussions because, you know, we agree on a lot of things, but we have some things that we don't quite see things exactly the same way, you know? And it's a lot of fun to do it. And I know that when people get a chance to sit there and watch us go back and forth, I mean, they're learning. You know, when I sit there and watch, you know, on the ship, I'm very much looking forward to watching Matt and Peter go back and forth. I think that's going to be a ton of fun. You know, when you're trying to understand, gee, what is the impact of the oil boom going to have on the U.S. economy and the dollar and the Fed's behavior? Well, you have to have somebody who understands the oil business. So Paul will be there who understands the oil business and how much oil is really in the ground and how much it really costs to get it out of the ground and how much impact is it really going to have. Or if you're interested, like, for example, when we were looking at North Dakota as a real estate market, how long is that oil in the Bakken going to last? Is that really going to be a sustainable boom that's going to drive the real estate market there locally? Well, I want to talk to the oil guy to understand that, not the real estate guy.
Yeah.
I want to talk to the oil guy. And where can you go where you can get all of these different disciplines talking to each other for an extended period of time, and you get to have those conversations overlaid on top of a fundamental education that we cover in the seminar? So I really think that based on what's going on in the economy and where, you know, with the baby boomer generation and how much money is out there looking for homes and all of that, I just think this is probably going to end up being our most important summit yet. I think we've had great summits in the past. The one with Robert and Kim 2 years ago was amazing. But I really think this one is going to end up being the absolute best education and the most timely in terms of people being able to walk away going, I can take effective action to build wealth and preserve wealth through the gyrations that many people think are coming.
If you want to meet Matt Kirchhoff, Peter Schiff, Ken McElroy, and the entire summit, we got some great folks coming. Mr. Tommy Hopkins, we've just spent the weekend with. Amazing, amazing guy. Go to our website at realestateguysradio.com. Click on Summit. We'd love to have you join us. Don't miss the boat. Big thanks to Matt for sharing his time with us today. And, of course, what your mission is as a real estate investor is to pay attention to what's happening so you can go out and make some equity happen.
This episode of the Real Estate Guys Radio Show is brought to you by Paradigm Life, powerful cash management strategies using life insurance. Learn more at beyourbank.com. Mid-South Home Buyers, low-cost, turnkey cash flow properties in Memphis, Tennessee. Corporate Direct, asset protection strategies for real estate investors from attorney and rich dad advisor Garrett Sutton. Find these and other great companies under the Resources tab at realestateguysradio.com. To learn how you can expose your product or service to the Real Estate Guys audience, call 888-489-7723, extension 4. That's 888-489-7723, extension 4. Or use the feedback page at realestateguysradio.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week right here on the Real Estate Guys Radio Show.